Sightings podcast, where we listen to people's fairy encounters. But take heed, we're not talking about winged Tinkerbells here. These are real fairies, real encounters that took people like you and I by surprise. Stay a while and hear their stories. My name is Jo Hickey Hall, and I'm a folklore researcher. To support the Modern Fairy Sightings podcast and find extra material, please go to patreon.com/themodernfairysightingspodcast. Thanks. The Modern Fairy Sightings podcast hears from people who've had experiences and want to share them in their own words. Whether you're already a believer or full of intrigue, come open-minded and open-hearted. Simply listen and make your own mind up. In this episode, I chat with a woman whom it's clear is very close to nature, and in fact had learned the technique of culning, an ancient herding call, but she could never have imagined what happened next. You'll notice that I don't name the geographical subject areas in these podcasts, and that's because I feel it's important to protect and respect the person sharing, the environment itself, and the beings that might exist there. I hope you enjoy this offering. I found our discussion a really uplifting experience, and the description of the encounter is so vivid. Also, just a note for the UK listeners, bangs are what we call a fringe. Enjoy the episode.
It was about, I think it was last August or the August before. My dad had scuba diving, and I love the land out there. It's beautiful. It's so wild and untouched, despite being a camping ground. And I love exploring. If I find a deer trail, that I'm off. And I just wander as far as I can until I start to think, maybe I should, you know, not get lost. But I started to wander this deer trail, and it led up onto a great big plateau that was so densely wooded with birch and pines. And it was so beautiful. And I remember what lured me up there was one single bright red tiger lily. And they're very rare nowadays, I've noticed. When I was a child, they grew absolutely wild out there. But as I've gotten older, I see so little of them. So I saw that, and I just gunned right up to the top of that plateau. When I got up there, it just felt different. You know, I had wandered here, there, and everywhere, and I got up there, and it felt so different. And it felt like the perfect place to practice my singing. And that's, I don't like to do it indoors. I don't like to do it around other people, because for me, it feels almost like a way of communicating with spirits. Mm. And so it's a very personal and intimate thing for me. And I started practicing when I was up there.
This is the culning.
Yes.
This is a cattle call that, is it Scandinavian? Is it,
yes,
just,
it is.
Is it just women and girls that sing this, or is it, is it men too?
I've noticed, I don't know of any rules or stipulations about like just girls do that, but I have noticed it's more women that do it and enjoy it. And I think that's because the pitch can sometimes be higher and designated as more feminine. So nowadays men are like, I don't do that. But I think that if you feel spiritually inclined, and it's a practical skill in a way, at least it used to be, but it's such a spiritual thing at the same time, you know. And I was practicing, and I was on top of the plateau, and it went down very rapidly, almost as a cliff face, but it was like over time the rain had worn down the earth enough so that it was just a very steep slope. And down below, it was so dense. It was, you know, I could see horsetails and birch and ferns, but it was just like a wall of green at the bottom.
Right.
And it was kind of, you know, the curiosity in me, curiosity, was very much like, ooh, what's down there? But, you know, the logical part of my brain is like, you know, you don't know what's down there. But I continued to practice, and I stopped for a minute just to listen to the trees, just to listen to everything around me. And I heard my call sung back to me from the bottom of the plateau.
Amazing.
And it sounded like it was sung through something, but I could never place what. It was almost like they were singing through a tunnel, but it didn't have quite as much echo. It's hard to explain, but it was beautifully pitched. It matched my pitch. It was just unique in its own way that I could tell it wasn't an echo. It was a different voice almost. And I stopped, and I was startled, honestly. Because
yeah,
my first thought was, oh my God, somebody's out here. My first thought was a camper had followed me out, and I got very frightened almost, because, you know, the fear response of like, there's a person here and I don't know where the people are. But I started to just feel different. And I had an experience when I was 12, and I can tell that one as well, but it felt the same way as that. But there's no other place in my life that I can put that feeling other than these strange experiences. And curiosity got the best of me, and I felt like I was doing something I shouldn't be doing, but I really wanted to know where that was coming from. So I started to go down the slope, and I was having to hold on to the lodgepole pines for dear life just to keep my feet from going out from under me and going down the hill on my butt. And I got almost to the base, almost to the line where the horsetail was growing. And I was very surprised at how tall the horsetail was growing. And I know it was horsetail. I've seen that herb a million times. It's everywhere out here. It was, you know, but it was very tall and thick and dense. And it's just a wall of green. And I almost got there. And I felt immediately like I was somewhere doing something I was not supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this overwhelming sense of, I need to go back to where I belong, because I didn't belong here. And it was a sense of like, you don't belong here.
Right.
And I turned on my heels, and I was like, okay, if it's an animal, don't run. Don't give a prey response, because that's very dangerous. And this is a place where bears and cougars do reside.
Okay. My goodness.
Yeah. But towards the end, it just became such an overwhelming drum in my soul that I couldn't help it. And I had to, you know, palm myself up, grabbing onto the pines and then grabbing onto the birch. And then I got to the top completely out of breath, and I plopped down on my butt, and I was like, okay, nothing's behind me. I swear something should have been behind me, but nothing was behind me. And I sat there for a second, just breathing, just waiting to see if I would hear anything or see anything or what was down there. And everything started to feel calm again. And I started to feel like, okay, you're where you're supposed to be now. Everything's okay again. And I stood up, and I was getting ready to turn and continue on down the trail to go further around the lake. And just as I was turning my head to walk away, I saw up the tree, not very far, but I mean, compared to where it was on the ground, because it was further on the slope, a little person. And they looked not like a person, but that's the only way I can describe them.
Mm.
They had almost like a triangular face, very wide mouth with thin lips, very little nose, and these big, round, almondine garnet eyes. There's no other stone I can think of that matches, but they were so alive and so deep and full of depth, and they were this beautiful color, and they had mousy brown hair, and it was in bangs. and the grass was long, and they had these one tiny little hand holding onto the other side of the tree. And I heard a, and just like nothing, they were gone.
Yeah.
And I just kind of had this moment of, I was completely gobsmacked of like, what did I just experience? Mm. And I kind of started to register, not fully, that took a little while later, but register that I had something special happened. Mm. And so I apologized for intruding on a somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be. I thanked for them for the magical experience that I was given. And I basically said, have a nice day. And I went about my day. And I walked all the way back around the lake, down the plateau to the car. And I sat there and I was like, oh my gosh, I saw something special. Mm. And it took that long for me to be like, wait a minute here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just lost in the moment.
Yeah, no, I was complete. I was so dazed and lost in the magic of it all. I don't even remember getting back to the car. I know I walked there. You know, it's not like, oh, I'm back by the car. But I just remember all of a sudden I was sitting by the car going, what was that? Yeah. And it was no fear. No fear about it anymore. It was just the pure natural magic of that moment.
Mm. It is just such a beautiful, beautiful encounter.
Yes. I still think about it and I get chills at the chance of having that.
Mm. Yeah. Did your eyes meet?
Yes. Yes. It was such a bizarre feeling when I made eye contact with this little being of surprise and innocence and wonder. Both of us were very much like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think either of us expected that moment. It just happened very organically between us. And I can't explain it, but they felt young.
Yeah.
They felt older than me, but young.
I get that impression even from visualizing it as you're telling the story. And I also, the way that they called and then came out to have a peek, it's very childlike actually, isn't it?
It is. So
it's curious.
Gasp was almost like a child being like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this.
Mm.
You're not supposed to see me.
Yeah. Did you get a sense of how tall they were at all?
Because of the size of their face and the size of their hand, I wouldn't put them above 3.5 feet.
They were
very small. They were high up the tree, but I could imagine living in a forest eventually. You get good at climbing trees.
So they were at the top, further up the tree.
Yes.
Actually,
they were just a little bit above my head.
Okay.
But they were a little bit down the slope, and the slope went so steep so rapidly that
sure.
they were quite far up the tree.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like they had clambered up the tree to get a better look at you.
Yes, yes. And I got that sense very much so. Yeah. And I think that's who was probably chasing me up the hill. But now I am starting to think maybe it wasn't, you know, get out of here, you kid. It was more of like, what are you? What you doing? Almost like when you're a little kid and you run to get a better look of a deer that's far away, you know.
Yeah. It's really, really wonderful. Did you have a familiarity with that place? Had you been there before to this place?
I've been there twice before, and it always felt special, and I'd always managed to find some plant, some mushroom that I'd known about, I'd seen before, but it's very rare almost. Mm. One of my favorite mushrooms is called a staghorn mushroom. I don't know if that's like its proper name, but that's what I'd always heard elders call it. And it was this amazing fire yellow orange.
Right.
And that's something I've always noticed about that area is there's a lot of plant life there. There's quite a bit of animal life, and the plants there just grow so vibrantly. you know, like the red tiger lily. I hadn't seen a tiger lily in the wild for years.
I'm not au fait with the native species out there, so I must
it's okay.
Look tiger lily
I really
up.
Wouldn't expect you to. I don't, there's a lot of plants out there I would have no idea about. They are my favorite flower, and they're I've always kind of considered them a sign of wilderness, the beauty and purity and innocence of the wilderness.
It does sound very unspoiled out there.
Which is funny because you cross the river and it's farmland. It's only been made into a campground in my father's lifetime. And before that, it was largely, you know, people that owned the land were out there from time to time, but it's still densely forested. It's still very natural and very wild for the area. And it's actually a dead volcano.
Ah.
Yeah, that got filled up and millions of years ago, of course.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
Yeah.
That is interesting, isn't it? So it's volcanic. It's volcanic rock there.
Yeah, no. You have to dig down quite a bit, but I've always thought that maybe that's why things grow so beautifully out there.
Could be, right, yeah. Yeah, it could be. So when it first answered back, so you sang and it answered mm-hmm. back, did you sense it in your body? Did it kind
oh,
of make
absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It was like this vibration of joy went through me of just like, I can't help but continually use the term innocent because it was so unreserved. Mm-hmm. It was innocent joy. It was innocent bliss. It had no hold back. It had no withdrawal of like, almost, it had no shame in its joy, if that makes sense.
That's so important in terms of being able to sing also somewhere in the wilderness like that. Like, we don't often get a chance to just sing
no.
from our hearts. We don't get that opportunity to just share from our soul like that through our voice.
No.
That in itself is just a really sacred offering, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's always, whenever I go out with the intent to sing, it's never just for me. It's always I'm singing for the land, and that's the intent I put in it.
Yeah.
And I think that was why I got the response I did.
Mm.
I think that the land and the beings of that land heard and sensed that intention. And I think that's why I got any response at all,
mm-hmm.
was it was responding to love.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is true magic, in fact.
Yes.
Just to go with that loving intention, connect with the land.
Oh, yes.
I've
always been very strongly and fiercely connected to nature. And it's always come from a place of deep love and reverence. And I think that contributes to having any experience at all. You know, you have to have something in you that says, I love this, you know, and I mean, of course, excluding negative experiences, but that's not what this was. This was love responding to love. Mm. I feel that very strongly in my heart.
Mm. When you were heading further in, you had that moment when it was a kind of, oh, do I go any closer? Did that feel like a kind of fight or flight? Was there a sense, I need to get out of here? Or did you feel like you were fighting it? Or did you feel like you were being drawn in closer?
It was a battle of the two in myself, very much so. I felt very called. I felt like there was an incredible magic happening there, down there, in that place. But I also felt like almost in a sense of earned that place yet. And it was the yet sense. It was not, I didn't get a sense of finality. It was more of a sense of, you aren't where you're supposed to be yet to come here.
Mm.
It was very deep and very powerful. And it was very much like, you weren't invited down here. You weren't asked to be down here. Bugger off.
Mm, yeah, because you apologized for intruding. So you,
yes,
you had felt
that. And I felt
that.
Like I had, but at the same time, there was the magic in me wanted the magic that was there.
Mm.
But there was more complex elements at play there that I don't think I fully still understand.
No. No, how do you feel about it now, kind of looking back? Do you think, well, have you visited again?
I haven't been able to, unfortunately, but I feel very, I feel like I was given a profound gift that day to have that experience. I feel like that experience in and of itself was a gift to encourage me to continue being loving and positive.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. It's not like you need to kind of seek it out again. It's that, I think that's
if
the thing with these.
If it's meant to happen again, I know in my heart it'll find me just the way it seemed did the first time.
Yeah. I think that's it. It's a kind of not seeking. And I think so many people would, you know, they really want to see something like a fairy or a being. And it simply doesn't happen like that. It just happens. It just happens. You can't make it happen.
It's very much on their terms, I think. But I think that there's also a grand element of accident and surprise. Yeah. Because I don't think that little being, I don't think it was fully intentional. I think it was more of a slip in the universe that ended up being a beautiful thing. Because they were very surprised.
Yeah. Wow. Did you see any expression on its face?
It was a very curious. It was almost, their face was very, not reserved, but relaxed. But it had a kind of curiosity in it that you would see in, say, a deer or, you know, an animal being very much like, what's this? But also having that placid face in a strange way. When they gasped, they opened their mouth a little bit. And their eyes got a little bit bigger.
Thank you so much again. Really brilliant to chat to you. I really
Thank
appreciate it.
Thank you so much
it.
For having me. I appreciate okay. getting to tell my story.
So I can say that for me, anyway, to be able to hear that experience felt very precious, and I can only imagine how it must have felt for our guest. What really came to the fore was her love for the local flora and fauna. It was a place that she was familiar with, yet she regarded its secrets with the utmost respect, and felt her intuition both calling her in and warning her to leave the dense part of woodland. As in podcast one, she describes the encounter as being much like a wildlife encounter. How far removed are we from these experiences in today's Western society? Well, an evening's walk through any city might bring you into contact with foxes, particularly industrial areas, of course, and you can connect with birds if you're gentle and patient. And I think that's what this encounter teaches us. To honour the wild of any place and commune with it in any way that feels right to you. That might be finding a safe place in your local park where you can meditate. Just sitting on the ground with your hands resting on the earth, listening to the sounds, maybe birds, people, traffic, the wind, sending a sense of yourself from your heart area, your love, down into the earth. And then imagine the earth sending love back up to you. stay there for as long as you can. It's a really grounding and powerful experience, and this is one way to familiarise yourself with any landscape. It becomes a relationship. On the way home, you may begin to notice the beautiful intricacy of the nature surrounding you, perhaps in a more vivid way than you did previously. If you can, always pick up any litter that you find to aid the wildlife there. This may be somewhere that you'll return to again and again. Our guest tonight mentioned another previous experience which is just as compelling, and we'll return to that in a later episode. But for now, thank you for listening, and I hope you will join me again. Much love, and always remain curious.